This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
White on the left wing, down the left alley, blurred on the right hand. It is short. Rebounded by Paul George. 5-on-4 for the Clippers if they hurry. Bounce pass in the lane. Leonard to the basket. He throws it down with the right hand. The 2-on-3 connection has put the Clippers in front.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Noah Eagle on Clippers Radio. We haven't heard any play-by-play. Well, except for the kind that we saw in The Last Dance and the classic games that are being broadcast on various networks during this hiatus of the NBA and really most professional team sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Keith Smith, who covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports and some other outlets as well. And Keith, what is the likelihood that today's vote of the Board of Governors is a pass as opposed to a fail?
Somewhere right around 100%.
Okay, good.
It's very likely that this could pass unanimously.
How do you like the 22-team format as opposed to the others that the commissioner was considering?
Yeah, I was fine with either the 20 or 22-team format. I think they're pretty good compromises as far as giving teams that were still in the playoff race an opportunity to make up ground, as well as, you know, still honoring what had happened already in the regular season. So I think that they really reached good middle ground here. I like the idea, too, that the 8 seeds will have an advantage when it comes to potentially getting into the playoffs, because those teams have to make up ground on them then, plus beat them twice if they're going to get in. So I think the NBA did a good job here at taking care of all interests, as well as creating enough teams to be there to create enough regular season games to give those teams a good warm-up for the postseason.
Well, that's kind of the part where I'm a little bit confused. How are they going to do this when they don't have all the teams in Orlando and yet they want them to play another 8 regular season games? What happens if the games on their schedule can't be played because the teams aren't there?
Yeah, so it sounds like what they'll do is you will progress with whatever your schedule was, you know, remaining. And if when you hit a team that isn't there, you'll skip them. And then you'll go to the next team that is there in Orlando at Walt Disney World. You'll go to the next team. And then you just keep doing that all the way through. When you get to the end, there's a couple teams that are short, if that's the way it ends up playing out, which are the Lakers, the Trailblazers, the Magic, and the Heat. But those can be made up by having those teams play each other, and that's how I think you're going to see the rest of the season get finished.
All right, so that's one question, Keith. What about, and you just referenced it a little bit, the 9 seed having an opportunity. Is this something in addition to the regular season games, or is it in the course of them finishing out their 8 regular season games, the 9 seed has a chance to take over a playoff spot?
A little bit of both. It is. So what they're going to do is they're going to play these 8 regular season games. Mm-hmm. If the 9th seeded team is within 4 games of the 8th seeded team, so 4 games or less, then what they'll do is those 2 teams will advance into a mini play-in. And what will happen is the 9th seeded team will have to beat the 8th seeded team twice, or the 8th seeded team beats the 9th seeded team once, and then that will be what ends it.
How do you like that little wrinkle?
Yeah, I could have done with just, you know, play out through the eight games that are left, but that was kind of the compromise. Eight games is, you know, half-ish of what teams had left, so that was the compromise, is play those eight games, and then if we're still kind of close, then we'll do this play-in, and it could create some excitement if that's where we land.
Keith Smith covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I have been dying to ask someone inside the NBA community this question. So I hope that you have an answer for me. Why are they waiting until the end of July? Why?
Yeah, so there's a couple things at play there. We thought it was going to come down that June 1st. Adam Silver is going to say that teams can mandatorily recall their players to their home markets. Right now, everything in those markets where it's open, it's all voluntary basis right now. That has not happened as of yet. And the belief is they're so close to getting this return to play plan finished that they were going to finish that up. So what it sounds like is going to happen is probably by maybe the end of this week, early next week, Adam Silver will say, okay, you can mandatory recall all your players. It's going to take a little while because players are spread all around the country, as well as, you know, several players they've returned to their home countries. So it could take a little bit for guys to get back. So they're going to make sure they give everybody enough time to get back. Then they're going to let the teams do some workouts that progress from individual workouts into team workouts. Then at the beginning of July, we're going to see them do a two-week training camp in their home market. Then everyone's going to pack up, move to Orlando in the middle of July, and then that's when they'll do two more weeks there, and then they'll start play on July 31st.
Wow. So the idea of 25 days, do you remember going back, it's got to be now 2 months or sometime in the last 2 months, where the NBA had kind of put this idea out there that they would need 25 days to get ready to play again. That is not even close to being accurate.
No, so yeah, and I think that got a really pretty quick immediate pushback from trainers within the league who said, wait a minute, we haven't seen some of these guys. And, you know, the sad reality is some of these players, they may live in high-rise apartments and the like and have had no access to, you know, real fitness equipment. Some of them had no access to a hoop the entire time that they were gone. Now on the flip side, as these facilities have opened back up for these voluntary workouts, there's been a pretty good attendance, and a lot of the guys are in better shape than what was expected. So
good,
I think there's some, you know, that's been a positive development. But they're trying to make sure that they do everything to avoid too quick of a ramp up, because the last thing they want to do is get everybody back. Everybody's excited to get going, and then somebody, you know, we have a rash of pulled hamstrings and the like that start putting players on the shelf.
Here is an interesting question, one also that I've spent some time contemplating. If you are the team that makes it to the NBA Finals from the East or the West, you know, you are there in Orlando at the World of Sports Complex from, as you point out, mid-July, when they will need to get to Florida, through mid-October. How realistic is it that none of these guys are going to leave?
Yeah, that's a question that's out there. The thing I say is, whoever, you know, is done with this season by the end of October, instead of saying, you know, I'm going to Walt Disney World, they're going to say, I'm going home. they're going to be really, you know, excited to say that. And so, you know, it is a very long stretch. Now, what is interesting is I've been talking to players around the league, especially as it started to really look more real and timelines started to kind of come into focus. A lot of these guys are really taking the approach of, this is a business trip, and we're in the playoffs, and I, you know, and a lot of these guys have said, you know, if we're going to do this, I'm going to go there to win. And there's no Golden State Warriors inevitability hanging over the season. There are seven to eight teams who legitimately believed, if things had broke their way, that they could win the title. Now those teams are even more bolstered in that, because you have this, you know, hey, it may not matter. There's no home court advantage and those kind of things. And if we play, you know, to the best of our ability, we could be in the mix here. And that's something that I think the players are going to take very seriously as they go. And that's going to, you know, be the mindset of, you know, I want to go. And then for those guys who are on those real true contender teams, nobody wants to be the guy who messed up LeBron James' chance at a championship because you couldn't, you know, stay all, you know, stay in the grounds and, you know, relax there.
Okay, Keith, one more question. And you bring up like leaving and the risk that goes with that. If they would take that choice and then would end up getting the virus, bringing it back. The commissioner had already indicated to the teams, if you think one positive test is going to shut the whole thing down, or if you think it should, then we don't even bother doing this because it's not worth it. What does happen, though, if there's a positive test or if there are a couple of guys who end up with the virus?
Yeah, so and you're absolutely right. When Adam Silver talked with both the Board of Governors as well as with the players, when he did the big call with the NBA players, he said to them, you know, and not in a way of to be, you know, hard on them or anything as far as, you know, well, we should or shouldn't do this. It was more of the, we're going to shut it down for one thing. That is fine. And I understand that perspective, but then let's not do this.
Mm-hmm.
So what they have all along have said is if there's one or two players who contract the virus, you treat it much like you would an injury or an illness at any other point in the season. That player gets shut down. They go into a quarantine for 2-week period. And then as long as everything is good after that and their team's still going along, then they can rejoin their team and play. The question that is still out there, though, that has not been answered to my liking, and I'm kind of curious, and I think that could be something that would shut it down, is what happens if an entire team, you know, all of a sudden comes down and you've got 7 or 8 cases on the same team. I think at that point, that's when the NBA would really have to look at it as, okay, this is no longer a manageable thing. We've had a true outbreak, and that may be where that type of, you know, situation could shut it down. But they're hopeful of get them there healthy, test them regularly while they're there, keep everyone healthy, okay, that they can finish the season with little incident.
But it requires discipline, does it not? It requires eyes on the prize. Keith Smith, NBA, is where you can find him on Twitter. Great information this morning. Thank you for joining us live. Covers the league for Yahoo Sports and Real GM. And we look forward to talking actual games with you once they ramp back to Orlando. Keith, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Stay safe, you and yours.
You too. Wow, good information from Keith. He definitely knows his stuff and explains it really well. So there's a lot there. But the NBA has chosen the 2-month plan because they believe that that is likely to lessen the number of pulled hammies and other injuries, and because they got pushback from trainers. 25 days is not enough. So end of July it is, peeps, before the NBA is back. A-Law Radio to find me on Twitter, also on our Facebook page. What conversations are you having with family and friends about what's happening in our nation this week? Because those conversations are so important.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.